Chapter 3. He was the only unmarried duke she'd met. Elena tried to make sense of his last comment. It kept her awake half the night. But he couldn't mean himself. He'd declared years ago he would not wed. She couldn't see why he would change his mind. He might want her, she accepted that, although she didn't, truth be told, entirely understand such predatory desire. But to his mind, to his way of thinking, to society's way of thinking, he could have all he wanted without marrying her. Not that she had any intention of allowing that to come to pass, but he didn't know that. He must have meant something else. Yet no matter how she twisted his words, no matter how much she discounted the effect he had on her and any consequent misconstruction, she still couldn't explain the intensity that had flared, that had echoed in his tone and burned in his eyes. She was relieved that his appointment in Twickenham meant she'd be free of him for the day. It didn't help. Evening arrived, and she was still confused, still wary, still feeling like a doe in a hunter's sights. The argument between Louis and Marjorie on the way to Lady Hunterston's ball was an added distraction. "You're making too much of it." Louis sat back, arms folded, and stared blackly at Marjorie. "If you meddle needlessly, you will damage her chance of making a proper match." Marjorie sniffed and pointedly looked out the carriage window. Elena inwardly sighed. She was no longer so sure Marjorie wasn't right, despite what logic told her. Logic couldn't explain the power she'd felt last night. On entering Lady Hunterston's ballroom, Elena kept Marjorie with her and determinedly quartered the room. She found Lord Weir by the card room. The group about him parted readily to allow them to join. The topic under discussion was the imminent demise of Lord Weir's uncle, the Marquis of Catterley.
"I'll have to head north tomorrow," Weir told them. "The old reprobate's been asking after me. Seems the least I can do."
He grimaced as he said it. Elena considered his attitude as a black mark against him, then realized whom she was comparing him with. She thrust the comparison aside. However, to her satisfaction, as they chatted and the topic shifted to Christmas and the entertainments planned, she found herself much more in tune with Weir's views. He was an amiable, if unexciting, soul, solid and somewhat doggedly unassuming. That, she told herself, was a welcome relief from others who were...